Hello and welcome back to The Power of Now, a guide to spiritual enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Today we're doing a book study on A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, written by Eckhart Tolle, and we hope you have your copy so that you can follow along. Today we are in Chapter 3, Section 6, The Core of Ego, Truth, Relative or Absolute. My name is Barbara Wainwright, and I'm here with Gilda Simone. Welcome, Gilda.
Thank you.
Truth, relative or absolute. Beyond the realm of simple and verifiable facts, the certainty that I am right and you are wrong is a dangerous thing in personal relationships, as well as in interactions between nations, tribes, religions, and so on.
But it's the belief, I am right, you are wrong, is one of the ways in which the ego strengthens itself. If making yourself right and others wrong is a mental dysfunction that perpetuates separation and conflict between human beings, does that mean that there is no such thing as right or wrong behavior, action, or belief? And wouldn't that be the moral relativism that some contemporary Christian teachings see as the great evil of our times?
Okay, so I had to break this down because this last paragraph had my head spinning, because mostly because two things. One, I don't really understand Christian teachings. I am not really familiar with Christian teachings. That's one. And then the second thing is, I wasn't really clear what moral relativism meant. So I had to look it up. When I look it up, it says it's the belief that there's no absolute truth, only the truths that a particular individual or culture happen to believe, which is very interesting. I think there are some core truths that are absolute. I'll say one of those is that I do believe that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. To me, that's an absolute truth. I can see, though, that animal sacrifice, which I believed was in the Bible as something that happened, I could see how that would just be really abhorrent to some other people that are vegetarians, and they're vegetarians for a reason, because they don't want to see harm done to a sentient being, which would be an animal. So if we go back to the paragraph and look at what he's saying here, does it mean there is no right and wrong with actions, behaviors, or beliefs? And then he's saying Christians see relativism, or there is no right or wrong, it's all relative. They see that as being a great evil. I had no idea that something like that, relativism, would be considered a great evil. The history of Christianity is, of course, a prime example of how the belief that you are in sole possession of the truth, that is to say, right, can corrupt your actions and behavior to the point of insanity. For centuries, torturing and burning people alive if their opinion diverged even in the slightest from church doctrine or narrow interpretations of scripture, the truth was considered right because the victims were wrong. They were so wrong that they needed to be killed. The truth was considered more important than human life. And what was the truth? A story you had to believe in, which means a bundle of thoughts. That is so heavy that the church, which one would think would be coming from a accepting perspective, you know, being in acceptance, I guess they're not, because they would torture and burn people to death if they didn't believe the way that they believed, which just to me does seem insane. And I guess that's what he's saying. Trying to be right can corrupt your actions and behavior to the point of insanity.
The 1 million people that mad dictator Pol Pot of Cambodia ordered killed included everybody who wore glasses. Why? To him, the Marxist interpretation of history was the absolute truth. And according to his version of it, those who wore glasses belonged to the educated class. The bourgeoisie, the exploiters of the peasants. They needed to be eliminated to make room for a new social order. His truth also was a bundle of thoughts. How scary.
Yeah. How insane.
Yeah.
To me, it's looking at history like that. It's shocking and scary, like you said. And I think another word that comes to my mind is abhorrent. It's just insane that a person, a human being with a soul or a spirit, could wish so many people dead to reinforce their own belief, or because their bundle of thoughts, like Eckhart says, says that that's the right thing to do. Oh my gosh. Incredible.
Yeah, and all just because of like the interpretation of history was like the absolute truth to him. And so like according to him, like that was the right way to be. Man.
Right? Well, it's believable because there it is. It's history. At the same time, it's just, how could somebody be so heartless?
Ego.
Their ego. And the need to be right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Wow. The Catholic and other churches are actually correct when they identify relativism, the belief that there is no absolute truth to guide human behavior, as one of the evils of our times. But you won't find absolute truth if you look for it where it cannot be found: in doctrines, ideologies, sets of rules, or stories. What do all of these have in common? They are made up of thought. Thought can at best point to the truth, but it never is the truth. That's why Buddhists say, the finger pointing to the moon is not the moon. All religions are equally false and equally true, depending on how you use them. You can use them in the service of the ego, or you can use them in the service of the truth. If you believe only your religion is the truth, you are using it in the service of the ego. Used in such a way, religion becomes ideology and creates an illusory sense of superiority, as well as division and conflict between people. In the service of the truth, religious teachings represent signposts or maps left behind by awakened humans to assist you in spiritual awakening, that is to say, in becoming free of identification with form.
There is only one absolute truth, and all other truths emanate from it. When you find that truth, your actions will be in alignment with it. Human action can reflect the truth, or it can reflect illusion. Can the truth be put into words? Yes. But the words are, of course, not it. They only point to it.
That's so good right there. Words are pointers, nothing more than that. I think that's very, very true when it comes to spirituality and being in the moment and being present and getting in touch with all that is and being in the vortex. That is, it's a feeling, it's a sensation. And there's only pointers to that. The experience itself is known as the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what you get when you are there, when you've let go of all of form and you are in the formless realm. There are words to describe it, but I don't know if they can really do it justice. The truth is inseparable from who you are. Yes, you are the truth. If you look for it elsewhere, you will be deceived every time. The very being that you are is truth. Jesus tried to convey that when he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." These words uttered by Jesus are one of the most powerful and direct pointers to the truth, if understood correctly. If misinterpreted, however, they become a great obstacle. Jesus speaks of the innermost I am, the essence, identity of every man and woman, every life form, in fact. He speaks of the life that you are. Some Christian mystics have called it the Christ within. Buddhists call it your Buddha nature. For Hindus, it is Atman, the indwelling God. When you are in touch with that dimension within yourself, and being in touch with it is your natural state, not some miraculous achievement, all your actions and relationships will reflect the oneness with all life that you sense deep within. This is love. Laws, commandments, rules, and regulations are necessary for those who are cut off from who they are, the truth within. They prevent the worst excesses of the ego, and often they don't even do that. Love and do what you will, said St. Augustine. Words cannot get much closer to the truth than that. I think when we tap in to our higher mind, we can connect to a higher vision or a higher mind or a higher thought that is conscious of what is the best thing for all concerned. Now, ego may want the best thing for them, for that person, for me, myself, and I, like Pol Pot decided that we need to kill everybody that's educated because they exploit others, which may or may not have been true. Maybe there is truth to that. I just can't see it, though. What about you? What do you think, Gilda?
I feel like it was easy for him to believe that because he was ego-bound.
Well, clearly, he wasn't coming from a higher mind. You know, wishing death on anyone isn't coming from a higher place, that's for sure. I mean, we are here, I believe, to learn and to experience an incarnate life. But to take that away from another spiritual being having a human experience, to rob them of their experience, is that right? Is it wrong? To me, that's just insane. You know, I really don't like leaving this episode on such a sad, heavy note. So what can we do to lighten the mood? You know, it's like, how can we lighten this up a little bit?
I feel like you are the truth. And when you get into touch with your beingness and who you are, all of your actions and all your relationships reflect that oneness that is deep within you, because that is love. And I feel like that's a way that you can practice doing the right thing. Because you can never really go wrong with love.
100% agree with that. Yeah, it's so true that if you approach everything from a place of love, from expanding your energy field and just being filled up with love, and then let that love spill over into everything that you do, what a wonderful world it would be. I know for myself, I'm going to ask you first, but Gilda, what do you do? Do you have a song that's a go-to song that you think about to get yourself back into a happy place?
Yeah, I like the song These Are Days by the 10,000 Maniacs. These are the days that you might fill with laughter until you break. These are the days you might feel a shaft of light make its way across your face. And when you do, you'll know how it was meant to be. See the signs and other meaning. It's true. You'll know how it was meant to be. Hear the signs and know that they're speaking to you.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. I also have lyrics that I think about when I need to be lifted up. And the song that comes to mind is from a musical. I think the name of it was called South Pacific. And the song is Happy Talk. And it says, Happy Talk. Keep talking, happy talk. Talk about things you like to do. You got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how are you going to have a dream come true? So I love that lyric. And I love thinking, what is my happy thought? What is my dream? What do I want to have come true? And that helps to shift my energy. And I hope maybe one of these sets of lyrics has helped to shift your energy somewhat as well. I think that section of the book that we just read was pretty intense. And you know what? I just want to leave you feeling good. So dig into your happy thoughts. What is it that lifts you up? And go there for the next few minutes and maybe stay with it for the rest of the day. I don't know. Well, that's the end of this section. And I know that what we're looking at is the chapter called The Core of Ego. And man, oh man, is the core of ego seems to be a pretty dark place. So hopefully, after this chapter, we're going to get into the light. And until then, I hope you have a great rest of your week. All right. Bye now.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to go deeper into a spiritual conversation, you can join our Facebook group, The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Or you can contribute by going to wainwrightglobal.com/go/support.